In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory.
It's good to see everybody here today. We've got a good crowd. I really wrestled this week with, like, there were two great passages. You know, every Sunday, every feast day, every time we're in church, we have great passages. But the one that was from Paul today was encouraging people to uphold, you know, to bear with the weakness of those who are weak is a very compelling passage because it's really about loving your neighbor and doing what's best for them and not always doing what's best for us. And yet in the gospel today, Matthew presents us with something that happened with Christ and these blind men. So in our culture, we have sayings. We have a lot of things we talk about. You know, don't let the cat out of the bag, you know, rule of thumb. And we have this other one. It's called seeing is believing, right? So if you want to know for sure that something's true, go and see it. We also have this other saying, you know, a picture is worth 1,000 words, which up until now with AI was pretty trustworthy. You know, now you see these pictures like, man, their hands are weird. Oh, it's AI. Ugh. But we find it easier to believe in something if we see it, if we encounter it. We are the prime witness, you know. You have this phrase, I'm an eyewitness, I saw it happen. You know, even at the end of the first chapter of the Gospel of John, I believe it was Philip said to Nathanael, come and see, come and see. And we say that a lot in the Orthodox Church, come and see, come and experience for yourself. And there's something behind that, right? There's something behind this desire to want to see for ourselves. We want to see marvelous works. We want to see the bread and the wine turn into the flesh and blood of Christ. We want to see the lame walk. We want to see the dead come back to life. We want to see the demon-possessed freed. We want to see the final act of the magic show. We want to see the prestige. We want to see before we believe. How often have we all done that? Lord, show me, give me a sign, strengthen my faith by doing some miracle in my life. And I will tell you, God does miracles, and I've seen them. I will never talk about them openly, but I guarantee you they do happen, and I've seen things that make the hairs on the back of my neck stand up, right? But I wasn't looking for it when it happened. It just happened. Because for many years, seeing something was the de facto evidence that it actually happened, right? We saw it happen with our own two eyes. We had proof that it was real. We could have that saying again, another saying. I saw it with my own eyes. We believe the testimony. And yet we're faced with this. There's one thing you're going to find out about Orthodoxy is very paradoxical. On one hand, we say, come and see. But on the other hand, Christ says, a wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to them except the sign of Jonah, which is what?
Resurrection,
exactly. Yes, because Jonah was in the bell for how long?
3 days.
Yeah. But we want that sign. We want that evidence. We want that thing. We want to see, you know, that ray of light shining on the priest during the divine liturgy. We want to see an angel, you know. The problem with that, with needing to see, is that the truth lies much deeper than what can be seen in the visible world. We know this because of the gospel passage today. Matthew tells us that there were two blind men. This is so important. Y'all, when you hear scriptures, pay attention. Every single word matters. These were blind men, which meant that they did not see the miracles of Christ. They only heard about them. They only heard because they could only hear. They were blind. And they believed. Christ asked them, do you believe? And they were able to believe without having seen. They could not see, and yet they believed. But they still followed Christ, crying out to him, Son of David, have mercy on us, which is an honorary title, calling the Son of David, you know, have mercy on us. They, in their blindness, were able to see something that was hidden from the masses. And again, in the reading today, right before that, Christ was in a bunch of people. Then he left that area, and these blind men followed him. After everyone else saw what he was doing, the blind man followed him, crying out to him. And then he went into a house where it was private, where he could, you know, not show off. And they followed him in there. And it was these blind men who heard. They could only hear what Christ had taught. They could only hear. They were the ones who were able, that were healed. And then what happened after they were healed, they were able to see. And I always think this is crazy. So many times in the Gospels, Christ heals someone, and you're reading it, it's like very clearly it's Christ who's healing them, and yet what does he say at the end? Your faith has made you well. From his perspective, it was their faith that healed them. And that faith, this is my engineer brain wants to understand things very systematically, right? So how does this all happen? Why are we all here today? Why am I here today dressed in these silly things and wearing this very uncomfortable hat? It's because at one point in my life, I heard the gospel and I believed it. I did not see it for myself. I'm going in the testimony of someone else. It was the apostles who saw the risen Lord Jesus Christ and 500 other people, as Paul would say. And lastly, himself, Paul saw him. But I haven't seen the risen Lord Jesus Christ. But I believed. And then what happens after we believe? Is it enough to believe? Is it enough to say, yeah, I agree that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he ascended to heaven, sits at the right hand of the Father, will come again in glory to the living and the dead? It is not enough to believe. You have to have faith. And we have this word faith. It's everywhere. In the fear of God, with faith and love, draw near, I say right before the Eucharist. It's not enough to believe. And these two words are very close in the Greek language. But faith is a thing that is born out of belief. It is the bridge between the belief and the action. That's why James says what he does about works. And we get confused. We're like, well, it's either faith or works. No, they have to exist together because works is the output of the faith that's born out of belief. James says that the demons believe. You think you believe? Who believes more than anyone here in this room except the demons? They know as a fact that Jesus Christ is the Lord. They know there's only one God and they hate him. They believe, but they also don't have faith. And so while we're sitting here today, we are sitting here because we've heard these words. We've heard these words of the gospel that Jesus Christ, this man from Galilee, who was the word of God incarnate, walked among us, died, rose from the dead, and we are here because we believe in that. And like the blind man, we got up and we went to the house. You're here today because you believe. So what happens next? We see. The thing that we had hoped for, that we could not see, eventually becomes manifest in our lives, and we see the risen Lord Jesus Christ. We don't see him as some character on television or the cover of a magazine or a billboard. Jesus up there, you know, rose from the dead. Vote for me, you know. Didn't do that. Because the truth is revealed to us as far more sublime, and what we realize is that that God is still, God is subtle, God is silent, God is peaceful, God is present. And it's in that moment of belief where we finally just live our lives according to what we believe, and we do the next good thing in our lives in the name of Jesus Christ, that we start to feel his presence, and then we see him, just like those blind men. Faith is to encounter that which cannot be seen. Hebrews 11, faith is the substance of that which is hoped for but not seen. You do not see it yet. Faith is to encounter that which is invisible to us, to experience the subtle truth that surrounds us, to hear that which is silent, and to find rest in the stillness and silence of the eternal being of God. You're not going to read about it. There's no game show about the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Please don't make a game show about the risen Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ has already blessed those who believe without seeing. He healed the blind men because of their faith, because they got up and they followed him. You notice they were following him. They didn't see anything. They just heard it. And they're like, I'm going to follow this guy. He's the son of David. Have mercy on me. And later on, he says, after he heals the blind, he says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. He told that to Thomas, right, after his resurrection. And so I often say, don't ever read scripture without asking yourself, who are you in that story? Even the Old Testament, who are you? You know, are you Moses or are you Pharaoh? You know, who are you? Pretty clear today that we are the blind men. We are the blind men because we have come to this temple today in faith based on what we have heard. not always on what we have seen. We come to the Lord based on the testimony of the apostles, the apostolic faith. We said this on Wednesday, you know, Christ didn't write anything. Which gospel did Jesus write? Where's his epistle? What we have is the testimony of the apostles who saw it. We hear their testimony. And I don't know about y'all, but when I heard the gospel, something rang true in my heart. I was like, this is true. And there's this little light, you know, this little spark of hope that emerged inside of me. And I said, I want to pursue that. And in faith, without really having any idea what's going on, you just step out and you do what you think is right and you hope that God blesses your efforts. And he does. He did it for them. He'll be doing it for us. Because we're those blind men. We're here today in faith. We come to the Lord based on the testimony of the apostles, those who saw and believed. But blessed are us who have not seen yet and still believe. We've heard the gospel, we believe that it is true, and in faith we live our lives according to that gospel. And an interesting thing happens, my friends, as I said, as we live according to the gospel, then we begin to see. He reveals himself to us in subtle, peaceful ways. I will end with this. I don't know about y'all, but you know, when I was a young Christian, I really wanted that road to Damascus moment, you know, walking along and this giant light, the sky opens up, this light comes down, you know, why, Saul, why are you persecuting me and all this stuff? But that's not the way it happens. You know, our faith is going to grow bit by bit, moment by moment of just doing the next good thing and getting up and saying our prayers and calling our friends and checking on the sick, being kind and being patient, holding our tongue. You know how much grace there is in just being quiet? Tons of XP in that, if you know what I'm talking about. You level up very quickly just by being quiet. And so we do all that in faith. And then we will begin to see. He doesn't leave us just hanging. He reveals himself to us slowly, peacefully, quietly. And then all of a sudden that faith has substance behind it. We see the risen Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. And then a really amazing thing happens. You don't just see the risen Lord Jesus Christ in your life. You see him in other people's lives. And that's the real miracle. That's the real seeing that we want. So may the Lord bless us as we try to believe without having seen. And may we open our eyes to see him in our lives and the lives of those around us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.